My girl drinks beer, she don't need nothing fancy. She takes a cold one, makes it look classy. She's on that Miller time, living a high life. Yeah, cases all it takes to make her happy. Now we don't sip no top shelf liquor around here. My girl drinks beer.
Alberta's Dan Davidson recently returned from his Australian tour, and of course, he released his new single, Girl Drinks Beer, with Australian country artist Travis Collins. Dan's 2022 EP, Six Songs to Midnight, debuted at number one on the iTunes country chart. Earlier this year, Dan received platinum status for his sophomore single, Found. He's had seven CCMA nominations and 10 Alberta Country Music Association wins. He spent over 10 years playing in the well-known Canadian indie rock band Tupelo Honey. That's how he got his start. And that band had several top 40 hits, top-selling iTunes records, and they toured with bands like Bon Jovi. So lots to cover in the past, and specifically the great year that Dan has had in 2022. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, buddy. Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Great to chat with you again, and congrats on all the milestones this year.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's feeling good. You know, the train is still rolling forward full steam, and yeah, I mean, I don't really stop to think about it too much. I'm just trying to keep the pace, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, totally. You go to the next thing, and that is so important in a career like yours to keep the momentum going, and I guess, you know, some of it comes naturally, of course, because you're releasing stuff, but at the same time, you've got to kind of not look back too much, but keep the momentum going forward.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you can't, unfortunately, in this business, it's hard to stop and smell the roses because you got to... You got to keep it, you know, fuel on the fire, because it's definitely, the music industry is such a world of what have you done for me lately. So I try and do a lot for people as often as I can.
That is so true. Yeah, it's all the current stuff. But going back into the past a bit, your sophomore single, Found, the catchy song, super catchy song that you wrote with Clayton Bellamy, solo artist, and of course he's with the Roadhammers. But earlier this year at the CCMAs, you were given platinum status for that single. Pretty amazing.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, that was wild. You know, that kind of stuff just doesn't really happen to an indie artist. So, you know, I mean, it's a hard bar to set for myself because it's so high. But I like the challenge. And, you know, I feel really grateful that I was able to kind of stumble across a song that just keeps on ticking. Like, without me doing anything, that song gets over a million streams a year, and it's just chugging away for me. So yeah, it's really incredible. You know, a lot of major label acts don't even get platinum selling records. So, you know, for me and for Clayton, we're just over the moon that, you know, this song that we wrote, just stomping and clapping in my kitchen, just got legs, and it never stopped.
Clapping was a big part of the writing session because, of course, the song is one of those clap kind of song, clap along.
Yeah, it's a stomp clap. It's like a East Coast kitchen party vibe. So, yeah, it's just, you know what? I think what really sold that song and what made it so successful is the fact that it's a wedding song, but it's not a sappy wedding song. It's not a slow song. It's an upbeat, get drunk and fall in love kind of vibe. And I think that's unique for a wedding song.
That's true. Yeah. We need more of those, because you're right. You have the typical I'm in love with you kind of song, but getting drunk and falling in love is a good spin on it.
Yeah. You know, and the crazy thing was, you know, that song, it did a lot of things that hadn't been really done. Like, I can't think of another song in the last 40 years that was an independent song that I didn't have any of those radio programs like the Future Star or Emerging Artists or whatever they call it on each of the radio networks where, right, you know, those radio networks will pick an artist and they put them into rotation and it jumps up the charts to almost an instant top 40. But this was all fan perpetuated and a lot of music directors out there just personally taking a chance on it. So I think that showed that there was some quality there. You know, it was the highest selling Canadian song for a couple weeks. And yeah, it's I think it peaked at radio at number 16 or 17 or something like that, which isn't really reflective of the impact it had. Just looking at the sales numbers, it's wild. And from what I've heard from fans, a lot of it was to do with, you know, people using it for their wedding songs and it kind of spreading word of mouth that way.
Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I
country, a country house and a family. We can have that beautiful life. Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I think that I found someone I can settle down with. All my life I've been running from the light, only darkness till you came around. Now I've been found. Left that heartache in the past. Hold you in my arms and we'll look back and laugh. Would you marry me in the back 40 by the rusted truck and the maple tree? A country house and a family, we can have that beautiful life. Well, in my mind, tree, a country house and a family, we can have that beautiful life. Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I think that I found someone I can settle down.
You know, you mentioned you achieved all that as an independent artist. And of course, a lot of artists have labels behind them and other publicity machines kind of propelling them forward. But, you know, as an independent artist, that makes this accomplishment that much more important and satisfying.
Yeah, it's true. You know, like I think there's a lot of indie labels out there that will say that their artists are independent, but in my eyes, a true independent artist is one without a label altogether. And that's kind of what I am and what I've always done. And I think the reason that I'm still independent is because I had all those years slugging it out in the rock and roll industry on my own and learning all the jobs and learning exactly what labels do and trying to, you know, figure out that checklist and a way to do it on my own with an indie shoestring budget. And so, yeah, like I had a lot of the strategies in play and you know, like I said, feeling very lucky that I was able to create that song, because makes my job as an independent artist trying to promo the song that much easier, you know, when the song's doing some of the work for you and, right. Yeah. And winning people over, it's a little easier.
So you would be a perfect person to chat with and I guess, tell other artists, newer artists, kind of about what you've learned about the business, because you've had to wear all those hats. So you would have some great advice for newcomers on the scene, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's actually become kind of a passion of mine, to be honest. I love trying to solve people's problems, and I love talking to new artists and you know, figuring out what their challenges are and giving them some advice on the decisions that I made that were wrong, which led me to the right ones, so they don't have to make those wrong ones. But, you know, like there's a lot of young artists, like Haley Benedict is a great example of somebody that I like to consider as somebody that I've taken under my wing a little bit. And yeah. And we've had a lot of success together, but there's a lot of bands in different genres too. I'm working with a pop band called FKB from Alberta, and they're great, and they're learning a lot and writing great songs. And I just hope that I'm having an impact and paying it forward a little bit. Like, you know, there was a lot of people when I was young that were shooting me in the right direction too. Guys like my producer, Jeff Dalziel.
Absolutely. Jeff Dalziel, producer extraordinaire. Yeah, how long have you guys been working together?
Oh man, it's kind of crazy. I met Jeff when I was 19 and I was in Toronto with my rock band, and we just won the national battle of the bands, the biggest battle of the bands in the whole country, Tupelo Honey won. And Jeff happened to walk into the bar as we were hitting our last note. And he said, you guys should come out to Toronto and work with me. So I think that was probably in 2005 or six or something like that. So, you know, I think we've known each other for almost 20 years now. It's crazy.
Incredible. And that was your time with Tupelo Honey, 10 years on the road. That's amazing. And you got to open, as I mentioned off the top, for bands like Bon Jovi tour with them. Who else did you meet during that time? Was there anybody you had really looked up to that you got to meet and have that starstruck moment, if you do get starstruck?
Yeah, you know what? The Bon Jovi thing was definitely the biggest star that we ever came in close contact with. But we got to tour with a lot of cool bands. You know, we were out with Theory of a Dead Man, and I'm still really close with those guys, and Default, and that's where I met Dallas. Yeah. You know, we toured with Billy Talent and Metric and 3 Days Grace and Shinedown, all these awesome, awesome bands. And, you know, the only band that I was sad that we never got to tour with, and it was pretty much the only band in Canadian rock we never got to tour with, was Nickelback. And I thought that would have been so cool. And I'm sad that we missed each other.
That would have been great, because I know they're a bunch of great guys. And I know they're going to be at Boots and Hearts next year as well.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm glad that they're doing that. It's going to be a rowdy night, I think.
And I know they have some country connections. I think Chad Kroeger wrote a song for Tim McGraw, and I think there's some other connections.
Wow. Well, yeah, I know he was heavily involved in Megan Patrick's first song. And I think those, you know, I always thought that the weird hatred for Nickelback out there was such like a stupid trend, because you look at this band and they're incredible. Like, they play great. They do what they do better than anyone else. And, you know, they're superstars. They're going into the Canadian Hall of Fame this year. So they got to be good at what they do. I have huge respect for that band. And, you know, especially small town Alberta boys, so they got to have some country in them somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I agree with you that there should be a lot more love thrown their way, and there's no reason for anything else. But I just looked up the song. I remember this. So Tim McGraw had a song back in 2009 called It's a Business Doing Pleasure With You, play on words there. I remember it being a cool song. But it was written by Nickelback frontman Chad Kroeger and Brett James. They wrote that for Tim McGraw.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. I'll have to go check that one out again.
Yeah, that's a pretty fun song. And I should also throw in a fun fact, an important fact. Your streams, again, as an independent artist, you have over 20 million worldwide streams. That's a pretty amazing stat.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. And I think it's cool to see that some of the songs that didn't, you know, fly up the charts at radio are some of the ones that are the hottest on streaming. And I think that is a good indicator, you know, when it's the fans that are making the decision and not somebody else making the decision, it's cool to see which songs come back as the ones that are resonating with people. Right. Like I have a song called Unkisser that I don't even think broke the top 50. And it's my second top streaming song. And there was a song called Role Models that I put out during the pandemic. And I love playing that song. And it's cool to see it streaming so well, because it's like, okay, yeah, I'm glad other people like it the same way I do. I wasn't sure if it was just me or what, but sometimes the proof is in the pudding, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great way to know about, I guess, album cuts, as maybe they used to be called, but songs not released as singles. You can tell on streaming services which ones are really popular. And that's cool to know that songs that weren't on radio, because I guess there's an audience out there. I mean, I'm of a certain age where I think about radio, but obviously with Spotify being around so long and streaming, that there are some people who only get their music from streaming services.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a lot more common now, just because it's so easy. It's on everyone's phone. You get in your car, your phone syncs up to your stereo, and away you go.
Yeah.
So like, for me, that's kind of how it is, too. I a lot of the time, you know, I listen to so much music on Spotify that their algorithms now understand what I like, and they'll suggest stuff, and I find a lot of new music that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great way to do it. You discover new artists that aren't on radio, haven't made it to radio, might not make it to radio, that kind of thing. And let's do one more stat, and then we'll get into your Australian tour. 7 CCMA nominations, and you've won 10 Alberta Country Music Association wins. That's your home province, of course. Pretty cool to get those acknowledgements and the wins.
Yeah, that is nice. You know, I always it's tough with things like the CCMAs because of how, you know, stacked up the labels can get with a lot of voting memberships and stuff. So I never really expect to win, but I love being part of the conversation and getting a little, you know, a little nod to the hard work that we put in all year. So that's every year before they announce the nominees for the CCMAs. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to kill me if I don't get nominated. Just cause, you know, it just feels, it's just a high pressure moment when you're an independent artist trying to stay on top of that world. But, you know, it is nice winning awards, but at the same time, music isn't really like football. You can't win music, you know, it's all kind of in the eyes of the beholder. So I'm just happy to go and see a lot of my friends. That's what the biggest thing is with those award shows is, yeah, getting to have the hangs with all the musicians and artists and industry people that you don't get to see all the time.
Totally. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Those friendships and connecting. And as you said, with the awards, I mean, yeah, it's great to win, but even if you don't, the fans, when you're performing for them, aren't thinking about, did he win an award last year or not? They're just enjoying themselves. So to one degree, it's not certainly the most important thing.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's just more, yeah, it's just more of a celebration. I try to look at it that way so I don't get, you know, discouraged or whatever. It's just a week of celebration and having fun. And you know, if I look up and I'm winning one day, then great. But if not, I'm still just going to be, it's not going to change anything in my life.
Exactly. Your new single out there now, Girl Drinks Beer. You recorded that with Australian country artist Travis Collins. And earlier in November, you returned from your tour, first time in Australia. So let's talk about the tour and tell us a bit about the single.
Oh man, that was one for the books for sure. Like, I've toured in 9 countries now, which is just insane. Wow. I still can't believe that with country music, I'm able to get around the world like that. I definitely thought my days of international travel were done when I got out of rock and roll. But yeah, this one was an especially crazy trip because I had a show in Spain first. So me and 2 guys from the band traveled to Spain. We met up with 3 guys from a French band that I sometimes use in mainland Europe. And we played a show in Spain to 900 crazy European wacky line dancers. I don't know, they love line dancing there. And from there, I jumped on a plane and flew to Dubai, which is a 6.5-hour flight. And then from Dubai to Brisbane, which is a 16-hour flight. So it was a big day to get to Australia. But the other guys flew from Vancouver to Brisbane. We met there and we played this incredible festival called Groundwater Music Festival. And it's, you know, Gold Coast is like the Palm Springs of Australia. It's just beautiful, manicured. It's, you know, just amazing sandy beaches. And it was everything that you would think that playing on an Australian beach would be. It was that. And, wow. You know, it was really cool because I think the band guys knew how important it was for me to really crush down there because they all brought their AAA game. Like, the band was on fire. And by the 3rd show we had at the festival, the festival promoter was saying that we had the most people at our venue than anybody else did that day. So,
oh, wow.
We really made a good impact. And so it was from there, you know, we jumped in a van and drove on the wrong side of the road all the way down to Newcastle. We got to play a club show with my buddy Travis Collins, and that was cool getting into, you know, see how it is in the club circuit there. And
sure,
we had some time off to explore Sydney a little bit. My sister happened to be in town, so we wandered around and did a little self-made pub tour. And then we finished it off with a show in Campbelltown, this little suburb of Sydney. And it was a small festival, but just fantastic. You know, the people were great. I found that Australians are so much like Canadians. It's just like the other side of the mirror, you know, that up is down and black is white. And but I really enjoyed it. It was really eye-opening to see that there's a whole world over there that I should and will continue to develop alongside Canada. And you know, I'm happy to say we've been invited back, but at the end of August, so we're going back down for our second tour.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah.
Great to build a new audience over there.
Totally. Yeah. And they're, the best part is they're English speaking. So it's an easier country to tour. But yeah, just, you know, despite the wrong side of the road driving, everything else was really smooth sailing. And yeah, so I was really lucky to have made a lot of friends when I was there. I've already been writing with tons of Aussie artists and really sinking my hooks in. Wow. I think that if I can tour in Australia during Canadian winter and then come back and tour in Canada in summertime, I've hacked the system and I've got it all figured out.
You've got a plan. That sounds like a great plan.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. And how did you connect with Travis in the first place?
Well, during COVID, there was this sort of initiative put on by the Canadian Country Music Association and Country Music Association of Australia. Right. And so they did this kind of a thing where it was almost like speed dating. Like they would have this first session where they'd have all these Canadian artists linking up with Australian industry people. And they would have these 5-minute Zoom calls switching in and out of these little breakout rooms. And then there was another one with artists from both countries. And I met a lot of artists, and some I knew and some I didn't. But with Travis, when I kind of landed in his room, mm-hmm. we just kind of hit it off, you know, just like a nice guy, super funny. He's got fans that are really similar to my fans, and he's kind of, his music isn't too unlike what I do. So okay. I just kind of kept him in the back of my mind. And as Girl Drinks Beer kind of came to completion, I was like, you know what, this is the perfect time to throw an Australian artist on there, because I'm going to be heading down this year for sure. So I just kind of called him out of the blue and I was like, hey, I got this song. What do you think? You want to sing on it? and he was game, and his, you know, his management team and everybody was really excited about it. So we jumped on a song together, and it was great, because we performed it at the festivals down under and really hit it off, you know, and became friends.
She wears high heels with Duke So Daisy. She can drive a stick, loves Iron Maiden. She's a blonde Shania. She ain't even trying. She's a down-home girl with uptown style. There's a list as long as a country mile of why we're a perfect fit. But the best part is my girl drinks beer. She don't eat nothing fancy. She takes a cold one, makes it look classy. She's on that Miller time, living a high life. Yeah, cases all it takes to make her happy. Now we don't sip no top shelf liquor around here. My girl drinks beer.
Hey Travis, what you know about it, man?
There ain't no claw, jello shooter, Dom Perignon in her cooler, just hops and barley and water. Yeah, there ain't nothing hotter. When a girl drinks beer, she don't eat nothing fancy. She takes a cold one, makes it look classy. She's on that Miller time, living a high life. Yeah, Casey's all it takes to make her happy. No, we don't sip no top shelf liquor around here. My girl drinks beer. Oh. In a long neck bottle or a 12-ounce can, a solo cup or a glass. My girl drinks beer. She don't eat nothing fancy. She takes a cold one, makes it look classy. She's on that Miller time, living a high life. Yeah, Casey's all it takes to make her happy. No, we don't sip no top shelf liquor around here. Oh, no. My girl drinks beer.
I don't have the information on the writers here, Dan. Who are the writers on Girl Drinks Beer?
Two Canadians, actually. There was it was me and then a guy named Andrew Peebles, who is originally from BC but lives in Nashville now. Guy I love writing with. And then the other guy was David Boris. So Dave Boris and I write a lot of songs together. He's got a cut on my upcoming record, and just a really, really good vibes guy. So yeah, you know, it's so funny. Every time I go down to Nashville, I'll do all these writes with Americans, but at the end of the day, all my best songs have always been with Canadians.
Interesting. I wonder why that is. Is there that connection from being from the same place?
I think so. You know, it might just be chance, but I also find that there's a style to Canadian writers. Like, I feel like when Canadian writers write a song, they're not looking at the clock. And if you don't finish one day, you circle back and you finish it. You keep working on it until it's done. And I find a lot of people in Nashville, you know, when 3 o'clock hits, they're out the door, and then hopefully somebody picks up the reins and finishes the song, because otherwise it's not getting finished.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I don't know why that is. I think maybe the American style is a little bit more quantity.
Right.
And maybe Canadians are a little more precious about stuff. I'm not sure.
Who would you like to get into a writer's room with, Dan, that you haven't as of yet? Who's like a dream writer for you?
Well, there's a lot of people that I know that I haven't written with yet that I'd love. Sure. Like, I'd love to write with Gordy Sampson. I'd love to write with Donovan Woods.
Yeah,
but, you know, there's tons of other people that I'd love to get. I'd love to get in the room with Chad Kroeger. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm sure there's like a swack of massive Nashville writers that would be cool to write with. You know, all the Shane McAnally's and stuff of the world. Yeah, but yeah. I'm just happy to make friends. Honestly, every time I go for a writing trip, whether it's in Copenhagen or Nashville or wherever, it's just, you know, I can tell in the first 40 minutes how it's going to be. Cause I find that people that want to just have a coffee and hang out and chat a little bit first, those days are always great. Whenever you walk away feeling like you made a friend, you probably made a good song too.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Cause you got to be that comfortable with the person in the room to become friends, and then you can kind of write about anything because you're comfortable.
Yeah, I think so, man. I just like a really relaxed hangout makes for a much better song. Low pressure,
sure,
people sharing ideas, and I love that. When those days happen, that's the best. And I think that's why I clicked with Clayton Bellamy so much. It's just, you know, if something, once it worked once, we're like, oh, okay, we got a thing here. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of a vibe.
Totally. Do you guys write? Have you written a lot together since then, since Found?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we write constantly together. So he's probably the guy I write most with. And, you know, for a while there, probably last year, we were writing once every week or once every 2 weeks. So we've had a lot of songs together over the years.
And talk about songs that you've written for other artists. You've pitched other artists and they've recorded.
Yeah, well, I got 3 with the last Roadhammers record. So I wrote and actually ended up producing 3 songs on that one. Clay and I have also written for a band called The Standstills that had a top 40 with a rock song we wrote.
Okay.
And recently I got a cut. Well, at least a hold from a Korean pop band on one of my K-pop songs that I was pitching. So
wow,
yeah, it comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, I've got a couple of country cuts with some local artists like Prairie States and stuff like that. But I'm really trying to swing big and get into as many rooms as I can and continue building that resume. And I was last year, I was really excited because Spotify made a official Spotify playlist of songs that were written by me. So it's kind of
cool. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's so when you know you've made it, right? Or that's one of the milestones.
That's what I keep telling people.
Exactly. Look, I've made it. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to tell people that you've made it if they don't believe you, right?
That's it. You got to fake it till you make it. That's part of the part of the rules.
Yeah, that's part of Music 101. I was just reading here, and it caught my eye. I did read this earlier, but then it jumped out now. One of the CCMA nominations that you had, Dan, was a nomination for Record Producer of the Year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it was a couple years ago now. Haley Benedict is from my hometown here, and I remember her even as like a 13-year-old kid just being around town and singing in talent competitions and busking at the farmer's market. And I always like somebody that hustles and works hard and isn't discouraged by the steps you got to take as an artist. And you know, I'd kind of helped her with some advice once in a while, but I called her at the start of the pandemic, and I was like, you know what, I think she was probably 18 or something at the time, and I was like, let's let's make this industry take you seriously. You're not a little girl anymore. Let's find you a song that really showcases what you do and who you are, and mm-hmm. and sort of kick down the door to the national scene, and let's just introduce yourself to the Canadian music industry. So I called up a friend of mine, Emily, who's a big writer in Nashville, Canadian girl. And I said, hey, I'm looking for a female perspective song, something kind of young. I don't have anything written, but I would love to just see what you have so I can introduce it to Haley. And so Emily and Madeline Merlot sent me a song that I was, both Haley and I agreed would be a great song for us to take a look at for her. So I essentially produced it for free for Haley and just tried to help her with as much advice and help her through her Project Wild thing. And Haley's song really exploded. It got on all those radio network, you know, programs and shot up to number 16 or something. And, you know, it's got millions of streams now. And yeah, so my work on that one is what kind of got the attention for the CCMA nomination for Producer of the Year, which was insane because that was one of those songs that I didn't need to labor over and spend weeks and weeks on. Like, it kind of came together pretty quickly, to tell you the truth.
Interesting. And I believe that's her big single, Wanted You To.
That's right. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. I mean, that is such a great song. I heard that on the radio here in Ontario so many times. Great song. I mean, did so well for her.
It did. Yeah. And it was cool because we just honestly did the whole thing where I'm sitting right now, just in my basement, my little demo studio. I'm not even at my big studio downtown. It was just like a laptop and we did the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is that something you do more of, or do you produce for others at this point, Dan?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm starting to do a lot more of it. I produced Clayton Bellamy's solo record this year, and I just feel like it really kind of came out of nowhere. I did four songs for a band called Weapons out of Saskatoon, and all those songs were top 40s.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been a huge part of my game these days. And I think it started happening because usually in a songwriting session, there's a demo guy or girl, and I've just kind of slipped and fallen into being the demo person on all these sessions. And those demos just started getting better and better until people asked me wanted to pay me money to finish them.
Wow.
So I'll take it.
That's when you know you're really good at it, when they start to pay you money.
Yeah, I know. That's nice. Hopefully I can get a little more of that. It's tough to balance, to be honest, because I'm spending so much time working on my own stuff.
Yeah.
But I really do enjoy making music for other people too. It's funny. It's a little bit less pressure. So the creative doors are wide open.
Interesting. So less pressure in terms of it's not your vocal, that kind of thing, or it's not your...
Yeah. I just think it's just like, it allows me to not overthink things so much.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like, if it feels good, do it, sort of a thing.
And
since it's somebody else's brand, I just don't overthink it and micromanage every detail. So I think it's way harder to produce for yourself.
That would make sense. Yeah. You kind of need to be removed a bit from it. Have somebody who's less objective or subjective.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. And, I've been doing some my own production stuff. Like Girl Drinks Beer is one I produce myself, and it is tough. Like, you start to think, is this done? Is this good enough? Should I keep going? You never know when it's done, when it's your own thing.
True. Yeah. If somebody else is doing it, they say it's done, but I know that's something that can happen, that the earlier thing you said, either overthinking something or keep working at something when you just got to know when it's actually done.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, baking a cake, but I feel like there's some songs that I just keep putting sprinkles on and I'm not sure if it's too many sprinkles or what.
That's a good analogy for sure.
Yeah.
and I'm sure as an artist, the part of the word you mentioned, overthinking, I know that's something that you have to kind of bypass, especially when it comes to songwriting and the whole creative process. Cause if you overthink something, then you let that, that can get in the way of a natural flow of things.
Yeah, I find that the biggest help when it comes to songwriting and producing for me is, if you're stuck, just walk away. Don't bang your head against the wall. Like, just leave the room, go get a coffee, you know, play the song while you're not in the room, or just change the channel. And that's the best thing to do. Like, I find that in music, you have a little bit of a productivity window, and then there's a bit of diminishing returns on your efforts at a certain point. So these days I'll spend an hour on a song, then I'll change songs, and I'll spend an hour on that song, and I'll change again. And that's, I think that's how I feel like I'm getting the most done these days.
Right. I heard an interview with Bruce Springsteen recently where he talked about starting to make some albums, and then he might make an album and not even finish it, or it leads him to another album, which kind of sound kind of crazy, but kind of says, okay, I don't want to do this. And then it leads him in a different direction.
It is kind of crazy, but yeah, you just never know. You kind of have to just follow whatever feels good and trust that you have good taste.
Exactly. You got to trust yourself. Let's talk about what's ahead for you, Dan, as we're wrapping up 2022 shortly, heading into 2023. What's on the way? Some brand new music from you?
Yeah, you know, I've been working really hard on new music, and I've got about five or six songs that are done. So I've always sort of just done a single, put it out, marketed it, done another single, put it out, marketed it. And so this time around, I'm trying to do it a different way. I'm going to get a full record done, and then I'm going to consider the strategy on what's coming out when. So right now, yeah, I'm just collecting masters and making a plan. I'm starting to take some meetings with some record labels and things like that. I've never done that before, but I'm just finding that I'm so busy, and there's a lot of sort of bigger high level things going on that I could use some support with. So yeah, I'm going to test out the waters a little bit and see if I can find a match, a good partner out there for some of the new stuff. And if not, no big deal. And it's full steam ahead still. But yeah, so that's kind of big on the creative side of things. But other than that, I'm really just starting to book up the summer. I've got plans to likely go down to Austin, Texas in March for South by Southwest.
Yep.
And yeah, after that, it's going to be playing as many Canadian festivals as possible until the end of August, where I'll be going back down to Australia to play again.
That is such a great plan. The whole summer, Australia. Is there anybody that I talked about songwriting earlier, but as far as recording, you've recorded with Travis Collins. There's a few other people you've recorded with over the years, but Dan, who would be your next collaboration, or who'd be a dream collaboration for you?
You know what? My favorite country artist that I respect so much is this guy named Hayes Carl from, I think he's from Oklahoma originally, but he's a bit of a drunken poet type guy.
Okay.
And I love his stuff. And I think I love it because it's just something that I don't think I could ever pull off. and his songs are so clever, and he's not, you know, like the best singer in the world, but his delivery is so perfect. He's good buddies with Corb Lund. He's in that kind of vein.
Okay.
And I would love to write a song with him, but you know, I get worried about these dream collaborations. You know, I wrote with Corb Lund once, and I'm a huge Corb fan, and we got along great, but I was just being such a loser, so excited to hang out with him, that I think I was the worst songwriter in Nashville that day.
Oh man.
So I had a little regret about how my performance, but it was cool to hang with Corb, and he's a good dude.
Was it because you were too caught up in the fact that it was the Corb Lund?
Yeah, I mean, he's I just love his stuff. Yeah. I wanted to impress him. I probably didn't.
I looked up Hayes Carl just so I could get the spelling right for my own sake to check him out, like you mentioned. And for anybody listening, it's Hayes Carl with two L's and a C for Carl. Hayes Carl. That's cool. Somebody else for us to check out. Dan, thank you so much for being on the podcast again. Always a pleasure to chat and to share a couple of the songs. Congrats on the platinum status of Found and the success of Girl Drinks Beer, your tour of not only Australia, but the UK, France, and Spain this year. And what else did we say? Your EP, Six Songs to Midnight, debuted at number one on the iTunes country chart this year. And of course, over 20 million and counting worldwide streams. Thanks again. Always a blast.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It's so good to hear your voice again. And anytime you want me back on, I'm here.
Amazing. Good. I know how to find you, which is great. Once again, I've been chatting with Alberta's Dan Davidson. I'm Dave Woods, keeping it country.